and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is always defended by Saint Cyril. So if you take a look at his commentary, the first thing that you are going to see is a defense of what some people might take as a division in the Lord's power. It's written that on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, there were Pharisees and the lawyers who were sitting by, and they'd come from every place to hear him or to accuse him, to see if they could find something in his speech that was objectionable. And it says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Well, St. Cyril takes this as the Arians, the people that think that Jesus Christ is not legitimate in his nature, because he was begotten. So there's a time when the Father was and the Son was not, because on earth there is no Son and Father who are of equal age. So because he was begotten, therefore he must be something into which the Lord God, the Father Almighty, poured into him at the time of his creation. This creates an imbalance in the Trinity, and I could go on. But the germane point is that the power of the Lord is always present. And as I look at this, apart from the theology of our Father and our teacher, St. Cyril, when it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them, it means, and it implies, were they aware that the power of the Lord was present to heal them? In other words, is there anybody who would claim that they don't have anything at all that needed healing? You see, this is important. Is there something I should know about? What? For those of you who are hearing this, we have two gates for egress, and one has been closed, so people need to get into the church who are coming late. So say a prayer for those people. 60% of the church service has already concluded, so you can tell what kind of people these are. Sometimes I go to bed at night thinking, if the Lord were going to grant me one wish with regard to the betterment of my physical self, what would I ask for? Would it be cosmetic? Would it be the return to some power or vigor? What would I ask for? Would I ask for more strength? If I could ask for anything, I said, well, I want to be 10 times as strong as I am, or I want to have a full head of hair. I actually have a full head of hair, but its position is reversed. I'd like to have my head covered from top to bottom, rather from bottom to top. And what would I wish for? But the thing is that as silly as this aside is, the important thing is that imagine that the Lord is here to heal. What would you ask him? What would you ask him to heal? Think about it. If you had one thing inside you that you needed taken care of, well, of course, it wouldn't be something that is so transient, at least I would hope so, as a desire to be healed physically. Because no matter if he gives you the number of years of Methuselah, who lived more than six centuries, you're still at some point going to decay and die. So why would you ask for that? Everyone should know that. What would you then ask for? And how blind these people were. They were there trying to catch him in something, rather than to say, here is amongst us something that we cannot fathom. And how do we know this? Because at the very end of what we prayed, it said, they were all amazed. That means the Pharisees, the scribes, it means everybody. Everybody was amazed. And they were all filled with fear. And they all glorified God. And the common pronouncement was, we have seen strange things today. Now, what occurred? What occurred? Well, there were some people who were very much interested in the salvation of their friend. Now, they didn't see it as salvation that was going to come through the forgiveness of sins. They thought that their friend might be so improved if he were healed physically that everything else in his life would be corrected. You understand, a lot of people think that if I just had a better job, if I just had more money, if I were just somehow a better, and then add the adjective that appeals to you most. If I just had this, if I had a better, and no, that's not true. It's never true. Circumstances are not going to change the inner man. Because what happens is you get used to it. I know a guy that drives a very nice car. A very nice car. And when he got this car, oh boy, was he so picky with this car. But you know what happens when you get this very nice car? After a while, it just becomes your car. And your car is something that when you need to go into a store, if there's a crowd, you have to park it where you can park it. You're no longer going to park it way, way, way away, because even those spaces are taken. So you have to park it wherever there is availability. And after a while, that's just what you do. It just becomes your car. If you're married to the most beautiful woman or man in the whole world, after a while, it just becomes your spouse. They just become redundant over time. You see them over and over and over and over and over. And after a while, there's no surprise. There's no surprise whatsoever. So how do you live with that? Well, you just get another wish going. And that's the point. When you start thinking about a change in your circumstances, you are the most shallow and superficial of all people. It's not the kind of change that you want. That's what the young people thought was going to take place. They had no inclination that the Lord was going to say to their friend, "Man, your sins are forgiven." They thought that what happened at the end was what was going to take place at the beginning. "Man, rise, take up your bed and go to your house. Let it be a testimony of the power of God among you." But the Lord saw what was needful. Because imagine this man for a moment. We don't know anything about him, really. But imagine this man became ill because of the perfection of his body. Huh? Imagine he became ill because of the perfection of his body. I'm thinking now about Magic Johnson. I can remember when he said that he had HIV, when he made the statement. And he got HIV because he lived a very profligate lifestyle, a terrible lifestyle. And he smiled, his big Magic Johnson smile, And he said, well, you know what kind of life, you know, ballers have. Yeah. 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 They have relations that put them in danger to get the worst possible disease, and that's what happened. So we don't know that this man who was paralyzed did not get the disease because of his activities. But the Lord knew, and that's why the Lord didn't heal his body. If the man on the inside had been okay, the Lord would just have healed the body, because that's all that's required. Heal the body. But the Lord did the opposite. He said, your sins are your problem. Your sins need to be taken care of, and I, as Lord, will take care of them. Your sins are forgiven. But when the people that were gathered around him, the scribes and the Pharisees and all those people, started to mutter, he said, so that you will know that the Son of Man has the power, now do this. Here's the physical manifestation of the hidden and the inward mystery of why I came. I came not to give you a better life. Jesus Christ did not come to give you a better life. Jesus Christ came to give you life, because you are all dead in sin without his pardon and without his salvation. All of you. So, here we have, in a nutshell, the kind of prayer that we all should have one for another, that we would be healed inwardly. We're all going to die. Every one of us, creeping towards death inexorably. But you can look at it as though it's the ultimate insult of human dignity, or you can look at it as, I can hardly wait to pass through the door from apparent life into real life. Life everlasting, life with joy, life without corruption, life where there's tenderness and there's love, and there's such an abundance of it. You're never in need or never in want, and there is never the presence of hunger for anything. And you have no idea how many people are hungry. I'm not talking about physical food right now, although that is a problem in some places as well. I'm talking about the inward hunger, the hunger that is not assuaged by gifts, the hunger that is not assuaged by, you know, accolades or acknowledgement of your peers. I'm not talking about any kind of hunger except that gnawing loneliness, emptiness, that hunger for being complete. Being complete. So, today is a great day in the life of the church when we pray this. It brings rectitude back to the form of prayer. It's not what you see on the outside. In the Paradise of the Fathers, young Palladius, he is horrified when he comes upon a monk who is being treated by a doctor for his elephantiasis. And there's a circulation disorder that attends that, and some of the tissue is dying, and he is carving away the tissue on this man with a knife in front of him while the monk is praying psalms. And when the monk sees the look of horror on the face of young Palladius the monk, he said, son, don't let this bother you. When my body was young and strong, it did not help me in my spiritual life, and now that it is weak and corrupt, it does not hinder me in my spiritual life. My spiritual life is separate. Now, for most of us, this is not true. For most of us, the body is affected greatly by how the mind works. There are people that have diseases that have chemical imbalances of the brain, And when there is not present enough of one chemical or another, everything in the body goes haywire because they stop certain practices that are healthful, or they start certain practices that are unhealthful. And so you have to know that the mind and the body in most of us are symbiotic. But in the mind of saints who have passed on, they are separate. They are separate. And you can live. This is why St. Paul said, I know a man who went up to the third heaven. That's what you call a real out-of-body experience. And St. Macarius had prayed that he would ascend into heaven and he would stay there for a period of 7 days. And it wasn't until the devil made a whirlwind inside of his cell, causing the toppling of a candle, and his cell began to burn. He still remained unmoved. It wasn't until the mat that he was standing on started to burn that he looked down, and then he laughed and he said, thank you, God. Had I been in heaven for the time that I had declared, it would have made me proud. But now I see that insofar as I thought I did not worry about this old flesh, that there is still a part of me that does. St. Macarius, by the way, was the man who, so disgusted was he at the act of killing a mosquito that had bitten him, he took off his robe and sat in the worst part of the Wadi Natroon, the Natroon Valley. Natroon is a type of salt. And mosquitoes bit him, and he let them bite him for 6 months. When he came back to the monastery, people couldn't recognize him. They could only recognize him by his voice. His skin was so mutilated and may I say, macerated, chewed on by the mosquitoes. St. Macarius was the one who wanted to see St. Pachomius, so he went into the monastery pretending to be a peasant. And he stood, as it is written in his life story. This is, by the way, why we have the three Macarii over here. This is actually my son's icon. And it will be removed when we get one of our own, or my son gets married and has a house. We're going to have this for a long time. But St. Macarius the Great, and you can tell he's the one in the middle. The priest is the one on the right side of the icon. The bishop is the one holding the cross. I'll point to it. This is the priest, this is the bishop, that's St. Macarius the Great. This is the one I'm talking about in the Paradise of the Fathers. He did not eat or drink for 40 days. He plaited more palm fronds, turning them into mats and baskets to go to the dependency so that people could buy them, and then the dependency would trade that money for grains and bring it back to the monastery for the monks to eat. Lentils and beans and rice and things of that nature. And all the monks of the monastery revolted. They said, who is this man that you have brought in to the monastery to shame us? He has no body. So a little discourse on the differentiation between us and them with regard to how the body is perceived. If somebody could say to a woman, a young woman, I am going to give you 100 pounds more body weight. I'm going to make you entirely bald so you do not have a hair on your entire body. And I'm going to give you bad skin. Okay? And in return for this, I'm going to give you the gift of healing. You would find in short order. Same thing if you did it to a man. It's not just that I think women are so vain, but it's just that there are a lot of men that fit that description already. So it's more odd to say it about the female gender. But yes, it's not the body that we should be concerned about. When we hear that somebody is sick, we shouldn't worry about that over much. It's not that big a deal. We should worry when someone is psychologically out of order, or spiritually out of order, or when they are looking at things askew in their life, or when they have placed in their life a totem, or an idol, or something that becomes more important than God. And then we see that, then we should be worried, because now something way more important is in jeopardy than just flesh. Because again, all flesh will pass. All flesh will pass. But to be with God forever is the main thing. Glory be to our Lord, both now and ever, unto the age of ages. Amen.